The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For contract and iska, draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara here on Amud Beis has a Gemara as follows. The Gemara discusses the halacha that the carbon oila has to have shechita b'tzofen and kibul dam kabbalah b'tzofen. The Gemara says eshkichan shechita b'oila l'mitzvah v'kabbalah kabbalah nami l'mitzvah eshkichan. The Gemara says we know that the Torah says that a carbon oila has to be shechted in the tzofen, in the north side of the Azorah. And we also know that the kabbalah of the blood of the carbon oil has to be done in the north side. But that is for mitzvah. As far as we know until now, that only tells us l'chatchila we should shecht it and do the kabbalah of the carbon oil in the north. Shechita v'kabbalah le'akiv minala. How do I know that it's me'akiv, that even v'di'evet, if he doesn't do the shechita and kabbalah and tzafoin, that the carbon oila is possible? Amev adab ha'ahava v'yitema rabbe barshila kal v'choymer v'ma'a chatos abo mikoyach oila me'akeves oila shebach chatos mikoycho ein edin shem me'akeves. It's a kal v'choymer, the Torah told us to shech the carbon chatos in the north side, just like the oila. So chatos, which was learned out of oila, there it's me'akev b'di'eved. There, even b'di'eved, the carbon becomes possible if it wasn't b'tzofen. So oila, that's the source that chatos was learned out of. Certainly, the halacha is that tzofen is me'akev, that shechting it and doing kabbalah and tzofen will passel, even with the eved, will invalidate the carbon even after the fact if it wasn't shechted or done kabbalah in tzofen. Following freks the Gemara, asks the Gemara, malachato shekim mechaperes al chani vekrisus. How could you learn carbon oil out of chatos? Chatos has something special about it. Chatos is mechaper for Averis of Chai V'Krisus, for very Chomerdik Averis. So perhaps the reason why the laws of Chatos are stricter is because it's Mechaper. Since it's Mechaper on such Averis, so that's why the Torah made an eco. The Torah said it will passel, it will invalidate the carbon, even with the Eved, if it's not done in Tzofin. Amar Ravina, then Ravina says, this was about Behavah's kasha, and he says, Ravina is saying that Rav Behavah's intention was to say the following. Rav Behavah meant to say that we never find the Tavu Chamim in the Iker. It's not a simple Yafusa. It's not simply that we're learning carbon oila out of carbon chatos. What we're doing is we're saying that it's impossible that oila should be more tal, that the laws of oila should be more easy than the laws of chatos, should be more lenient than the laws of chatos, because we never find in Kol HaTorah Kula and that tovel is more chamer than ikar. We never find that the secondary thing is more lenient than the primary. So since oila is the primary halacha, that a carbon should be shechted in tzofen and kabbalah b'tzofen, so therefore it must be that the source, the primary, is for sure me'akev b'di'evet if we know that the secondary is me'akev b'di'evet. So, from here on, I would like to take this Gemara and discuss two things. First of all, a practical halacha application that some poskim learned out of this Gemara. And second of all, a basic idea of that we see in this Gemara, that Oila is the primary case, the primary halacha that a karma should be shechted in tzafin is Oila. So I would like to explain that and expand on that, something which is probably quite noigea, just to give understanding, this is a very basic concept, a theme that carries throughout the parak. And let's begin. The Gemara here set a rule that we never find in the entire Torah that tofel is chomer min ikar, that the secondary is going to be stricter than the primary. So let's give an example of where some paiskim took this and applied this. So the case is something that halacha that seems to be totally unrelated, and it is. It's a whole other area of halacha, and we're borrowing this rule to that halacha. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is really it's perhaps a minog. It comes from I think it's a Sefta. There's a halacha that the Chayrim, people who are Bechor, they fast on Erev Pesach. So the idea is that since they were saved from that, Hashem went ahead and punished and killed out all the Bechorim, all the firstborns in Mitzrayim. The Yidden were in Mitzrayim and Hashem saved them. So because Hashem made this neis, so zeicher to this neis, they go ahead and they fast on Erev Pesach. Now the most prevalent minug today is that they don't actually fast. They eat on Erev Pesach, but what they do is they eat because they're here, they participate in a Sudas Mitzvah. Either they participate in a Siyum, or they participate in a Bris Milah or Pidin HaBen. And once they break their fast, because they participate in a Sudas Mitzvah, then they no longer fast the rest of the day. So in truth, it's a big machlokes whether we could be makel that a Bechor could break his fast by participating in a Sudas Mitzvah. And there were many places where the minhag was not to break the fast by participating in a Sudas Mitzvah. And in fact, the Magen Avraham, today the prevalent minhag is to do such a thing, but the Magen Avraham says that people shouldn't. The minhag is not to. Today, the Magen Avraham says in his country, the minhag was to be machmer. I do know that going back 70, 80 years ago, my great-grandfather, he was a Bechor, he would fast. There were definitely people that used to fast. If you look in early Sfarim, you may find it that there were people that would fast. They would fast straight until Kaddish, until the Kiddush of the Leil HaSeder. And this is the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Now, the question comes, what happens when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? So this halacha is that the Chayim fast on Erev Pesach, on Shabbos they can't fast. So instead of fasting on Shabbos, they should really fast before Shabbos. So the day to fast whenever Tainis Esther falls out on Shabbos, so we are makdim the fast, we make the fast earlier, and we make the fast on Thursday. So here also, the fast should be on Thursday. Now what happens? So as I state, now Grado, it's a machlokes about this. Really early Rishonim speak about this, the Trumas Hadashin, in Chelik Aleph, Simikuf Chavov, he says that if Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so Bechayim fast on Thursday. The Rekia says the same thing, the Augur in the name of the Maril, and the Maril says the same thing. Now, however, the Augur says that his father had a different minhag. His father had a minhag that he wouldn't fast at all. That since the fast gets pushed off, it gets totally pushed off. And he said, since the whole fast is only a minug, so therefore, once they can't fast on Erev Pesach, they don't fast at all. So Shulchan Aruch brings down these two opinions. Shulchan Aruch brings down that if Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so some say the Bechayrim fast on Thursday, and Yesh Oimrim that they don't fast at all. However, the Rama says that the minig is people should be knowing like the first Svara, and the Bechayrim should fast on Thursday. And that is the prevalent minig, that Bechayrim, whatever they do as far as fasting on Erev Pesach, they do that on Thursday. The question comes as follows. If Moshe in the Tshuva and Igris Moshe, and in truth, it wasn't just him. The Chazanish discussed this. There's a Kafachayim about this. They discussed the following question. If a Bechor fasts, so when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, according to the way the Rama says to do, so he'll fast on Thursday. But the way we have a prevalent minig, that Bechayim don't actually fast. Instead, they participate in a Sudas Mitzvah. So then, we have a big question. It's going to come Thursday. Really, Pesach is Shabbos. So really, the fast, they should be on Shabbos. Because they can't fast on Shabbos, so we push it off. We make it earlier. We designate a day earlier. We designate Thursday. Friday is not L'chatchila to fast on Friday, to come into Shabbos fasting. So therefore, we push it off to Thursday. But there's a halacha that what happens when Tainis Esther falls out on Shabbos. So we said Tainis Esther falls out on Shabbos. Again, we push it off. We push it off to Thursday. Now, the halacha is that really, if somebody was supposed to fast on that Thursday before Purim, if for some reason they didn't fast, if for some reason they broke their fast, they were Pesheah and they didn't fast, then they do have to fast on Friday. And Rav Nissim Kirelit says it's the same thing. I mean, the Chayra, everyone could understand Misvara should be the same thing. Rav Nissim Kirelit speaks about it in a case of Halacha Lemaisa, that if somebody went ahead, if he has some reason why he can't fast on Thursday, if he's a Bechor and it's before Pesach, and Erev Pesach is Chal B'Shabbos, if there's some reason you can't fast on Thursday, you should fast on Friday. Now, the question comes, what happens for those people that they're not really fasting? They're not fasting. Their minig is that they participate in a Sudas Mitzvah, and once they participate in a Sudas Mitzvah, they break their fast, and they eat the rest of the day. So, if someone participate in a Suda Thursday morning, so they broke their fast, perhaps now they should go fast on Friday. The idea of participating in a Suda's mitzvah is that the fast is not so stringent that we should withhold you from participating in a Suda's mitzvah. Suda's mitzvah came your way, so you participate in the Suda's mitzvah, that overrides the idea of not fasting. However, the bottom line is that you didn't fast. It's not that it takes, it's not that it's considered as if you fasted. The idea is that there's an override. It's more important to participate in the Sudas Mitzvah than it is to fast. But to say that you fasted, that we can't say it's considered. And therefore, if someone participated, if a Bechor participated in the Sudas Mitzvah on Thursday, perhaps they should go and fast on Friday. Unless they'll be participating in the Sudas Mitzvah again. So was asked Igris Moshe. So, Igris Moshe was even asked more. Now that we understand this dilemma, perhaps the person should just participate in a Sudas Mitzvah on Friday. He'll say that he missed the fast, let him miss the fast on Thursday. He'll participate in a Sudas Mitzvah on Friday, and that will be perhaps the best way of fulfilling this minhag. However, Rav Moshe said no. Rav Moshe said, if somebody is going to eat, if a Bechor is going to eat on Thursday, because he knows he has a Sudas Mitzvah on Friday, that does not sound like a good Mahalach. Since Shulchan Aruch says that the proper day to fast is Thursday, so the day of fasting for Bechayim is Thursday. It's not proper that he should eat on Thursday, banking on the fact that he's going to participate in a Suda's Mitzvah on Friday. The only thing you could talk about, says Reb Moshe, is what happens if he participated in a Suda on Thursday. Perhaps now he should fast on Friday. He says, he quotes the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that by the halacha of Tainis Esther, that when Purim falls out on Sunday, and Yud Gimel Adar was Shabbos, and we push off the fast of Tainis Esther to Thursday. So there Shulchan Aruch says that if he participated in a Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, then he has to fast on Friday. Since the main halacha is to really fast on Erev Shabbos. Just the Chachamim went ahead and were more makel. Chazal didn't want people to come into Shabbos with fasting, so therefore they said to fast on Thursday. But if a single individual didn't fast on Thursday, then he goes back to the Ikar Halacha that he should fast on Friday. So here also, if somebody participated in a Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, if a Bechor participated in a Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, perhaps he should really fast on Friday, unless he'll participate in a Suda's Mitzvah again. However, Reb Moshe says, L'maisa, a person does not have to be machmer. L'maisa, if a Bechor participated in a Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, that's sufficient, and he doesn't have to fast on Friday, and he also doesn't have to participate in a Suda's Mitzvah on Friday. And the truth is that the Kaf HaChaim, in Smetof Ayin, says the same thing, that if a Bechor participated in a Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, he does not have to participate in a Suda's Mitzvah on Friday, nor does he have to fast. And he says, the Kaf HaChaim says, since there are some shittas, like we said, the Ogre said in the name of his father, there's some shittas that now that the fast of Bechor was pushed off, once it's pushed off, he doesn't have to fast at all. So we see, the whole thing is not so chamer. The whole thing is a minute. The whole thing is a minig, and this minig, when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, some say the whole minig doesn't exist. So, we're not so machmer on somebody, so once he participated in the Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, which was the main din, we don't say that he has to go and do anything more on Friday. And the Nissim Kirelis in Sefer Chutshani says that the Chazon Ish paskin the same thing, that even Bechor that participated in the Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, he no longer has to do anything on Friday. He doesn't have to fast on Friday. And that's it. However, there are machmirim, and there are those that participate. For example, the Shandis of Chuvas Van Haggis says that he brings down the main halacha is that if they participate in the Suda's Mitzvah on Thursday, they are potter. That's it. They were yoitza the minug. However, the Yesh Medaktikim, there are some people who are Medaktik, that they participate in a Suda's Mitzvah on Friday as well, if possible. It's known that Chaim Knievsky does this. Chaim Knievsky yearly makes a Sima Shas, and Bavli, and Yushalmi, and Shulchan Aruch, and he makes it on Erev Pesach. I believe he's a Bechor, and that's why. And when it comes Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos, so he makes us, I don't know which day he makes the main Siyum, but he definitely makes a Siyum on Thursday, and he also makes a Siyum on Friday. Comes the Yeshua's Yaakov, and he asks a Moira de Kakasha. In fact, the Yeshua's Yaakov, that when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, and the Bechorim, and we say that the Tainis Bechorim gets pushed off to Thursday, the Bechorim are supposed to fast Thursday instead of Erev Pesach. Zog the Yeshua's Yaakov, who said that participating in a Suda's Mitzvah is sufficient at all? Who said? Shulchan Aruch speaks about when should the Bechor fast? Should the Bechor fast on Thursday? Should he not fast at all? Which we said all the poskim say, if he misses it Thursday, he should really fast Friday. So Shulchan Aruch talks about whether a Bechor fasts or not. We also know that poskim speak about that in a regular year, and Erev Pesach let's say falls out on a Monday or Tuesday, whatever day it falls out on, we also know that the minhag is, the prevalent minhag is, that Bechayrim participate in Nesudas Mitzvah, and with that, they become exempt from fasting. However, where do we find, asked the Yeshua Yaakov, that participating in a Nesudas Mitzvah is enough to break the fast when the fast was pushed off to Thursday? A regular fast, all other fasts, we don't have this halacha, you just participate in a Nesudas Mitzvah and you become exempt from the fast. Okay, so this fast is more kal, the whole thing is only a minhag, Yushalmi doesn't have this minhag at all. Okay, fine. Says the Yeshua Yaakov, the only reason why we are so makel to break the fast and exempt the fast with participation in a Sudas Mitzvah is only because we can't push off the Sudas Mitzvah to the night. When Erev Pesach falls out on a Monday or a Tuesday, so somebody has a Siyum Mesachta, or somebody's making a Bris Milah, so we can't make the Suda at night. At night it's Pesach, we have to make a Seder, so we can't push off the Suda to then. But if Erev Pesach is really Shabbos, and the Leil Seder is Mata Shabbos, and now we pushed off the Suda, we pushed off the Tainis Bechayrim to Thursday, so why don't we just make the Suda as Mitzvah Thursday night? Who told you to make the Sudas Mitzvah early in the morning, Thursday? Somebody finished the Mesechta, or somebody's making a bris, they can make the bris or the siyum in the morning, and the sud of it they can make at night. The only reason why every other Erev Pesach we make the sud in the morning is only because we can't make it at night. But when we could make it at night, we should make it at night. As I frag the issue is Yaakov. So comes the Mikra Kodesh, and he says, it's not Shver, the Kashu Yeshua Yaakov is not Shver, and he uses our Gemara. He says, just like we find in our Gemara, the Gemara says a general rule, that in Kol HaTorah Kulu we never find that Tafel should be more Chamer than the Ikar. The secondary is never more stringent than the primary. So here also, since when Erev Pesach falls out during the week, we say that you're allowed to make the Suda in the morning, and that's the primary case of, that's the primary case of Tainis Bechayrim. So to this case, which is Tafel, when we make the fast of the Bechayrim earlier to Thursday, so there it's Tafel, there it's really secondary. The secondary can't be more stringent than the primary, and based on this Gemara, the Mikra Kodesh absolves the question of the Yeshua Yaakov. So this is just one example how we find that this rule of this Gemara is applied to Lemaisa, is applied to Halacha Lemaisa. Now I'd like to get to something that's a concept, just to explain the concept of our Gemara, which is a concept that's a central theme throughout the whole parak, in a certain sense. The entire parak discusses all the different karbonas. The karbonas which are kachi kachim, the karbonas which are kachim kalim, the karbonas which are chatois, the karbonas which are oila, which are shlomim. And in each and every karbon, the Mishnah discusses where the shechita of that karbon has to be. And the rule comes out that all karbonis that are considered kachi kachim have to be shechted in Tzofin and have to have their kabbalah in Tzofin. They have to have their shechita done in the north side of the Azor. And all karbonis that are kachim kalim are allowed to be shechted anywhere in the Azor. They don't have to be shechted in Tzofin. And each and every Mishnah that discusses all the different types of karbanis, one of the halachas that's discussed by every single karban is this halacha, where does the shechita have to be? And our Gemara gets a little more into detail about the mekar. How do I know that the shechita b'tzofen is ma'akiv by chatos? How do I know it's ma'akiv by oila? And what boils down at the end of the day is that the Gemara says that the halacha that an animal, a carbon, has to be shechted v'tzafen, it's the primary halacha. The primary case of this halacha is the carbon oila. Why is that so? In what way is that so? The reason is because the Torah that writes tzafen, the Torah only writes tzafen by one carbon. It's a very interesting thing. This, we said there are so many karbanis, all kachi kachim have to have their shechita in tzafen, and kabbalah b'tzafen. Nevertheless, the Torah only writes, only spells out that the shechita should be done b'tzafen by one carbon, by oila. After that, the Gemara, the Torah always writes, b'mkayma oila. This carbon should be shechted in the same place as the oila. This one should be shechted in the same place as the oila. It's a very interesting thing. Let the Torah just say, shechted b'tzafen. The Torah went ahead and made that oila is the primary halacha of shechting b'tzafen is oila. Not only that, even by oila, the Torah did not write that all, the Torah divides up how the Torah writes the hakrava of the karbanos oila. The Torah has one parasha for oila of animals that are in the category of tzoin, of sheep and goats and rams. And the Torah has another parasha for oxen, for shor, for karbanos oila that I brought from shvar and bakar. And when the Torah writes tzafen, the Torah only writes it by tzoin. And that pasuk is in Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud in Vayikra. The top pasuk says, the Torah says, "V'shachad oisa, you should check the carbon al yerech hamizbeach tafoina, on the side, on the north side of the mizbeach." So haloi davaru. There must be a reason for this. The Torah wrote tafoin only in one place, and every other carbon is learned from that place. So the truth is that the Medrash gives a little bit of explanation. And the Medrash in Medrash Rabba says, since Tzofen is Moira, ala kedosa shal Yitzchak, that's why the Torah wrote it like that. In other words, the idea of Tzofen is that Tzofen has two meanings, Tzofen and Tzofun. Tzofen literally is, Tzofen is means north. But if you make a shuruk or malupum, by that pay, tzafun. There's something that's hidden. It's stored away. Like we have tzafun. By the night of the Seder, we have tzafun. We have that afikoymen is tzafun. It's something that was placed away and hidden away. Says the Medrash that tzafun is symbolic of the fact that the Ribbono Shel took the Efer of Yitzchak, Hashem took the so-called ashes of Yitzchak. In other words, that animal that Avraham Avinu brought as a carbon in place of Yitzchak. The ashes of that carbon is hidden away and is sitting in, as a remembrance by the Ribbono Shel Olam Tamid. And the idea of shechting all the kachi kachim in tzafen is to be a remembrance, is to tap in, is brings us ikarin, is a schus. It's ma'irah schus of that carbon that Avram Avinu brought b'makim the Akedah, in place of shechting Yitzchak. And it also fits with that, it's also connected because the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra, Ruach Tzafon is Pesucha. The north side is open. So says the Meshech Chachma, in Parshas Vayikra, he expands on this, and he says that's why the Torah wrote it even by Oila. This is why the Torah only wrote it by Oila. Because the carbon that Yitzchak Avinu, that Avram Avinu brought instead of Yitzchak, was a carbon Oila. And not only that, the Torah only wrote it by Tzoyin. Because the carbon that Avram Avinu brought was an Ayil, was from the category of Tzoyin. And therefore, the Torah is telling us that the idea, the reason why the primary case, the primary halacha of tzofin by all karbanis is because there's an idea that it's a schus of tzofon, that it's a schus to remember the Akedah, it's a schus for Klal Yisrael that Hashem will remember the Akedah. Just like tzofin also means tzofun. In fact, the Torah zokt to the Meshech Chachma, the Torah did not want to write it by Shor. There's a reason to write it by Tzoyin, because Tzoyin was the type, was the category of carbon that the carbon Avram Avinu brought by the Akedah was from. And specifically, the Torah did not want to write it by Shor. Since Shor would be a remembrance of Chas V'Shalom with the Ego, and that's something the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want to remember. That's something we don't want Hashem to remember. And therefore, specifically, the Torah did not say tzofen. Even by Oyla, the Torah did not say tzofen when it came to Barker, when it came to Shor. Says the Meshech Chachma further, one step further. He says, the carbon of the soy of Nachshon did not require to be shechted in tzofen. Says the Meshech Chachma, why was it that the soy of Nachshon wasn't required to be shechted in tzofen? The choyer was a chatos. The choyer it's a kachikachim. The choyer, according to the rules, it should have to have this halacha that is shechted in tzofen. Says the Meshech Chachma, the reason for this is because Shteitin Tosefta, the Tosefta says, why was Yehuda Zoicha to Malchus? Says the Tosefta, Yehuda was Zoicha to Malchus, the kingdom, the Malchus, the kings came out from the Shevet Yehuda because Nachshon ben Aminodov was from their Shevet. Nachshon ben Aminodov, he jumped into the Yam by Kriyas Yamsuf, he jumped into the Yam to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. He was Moiser Nefesh to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. So Yehuda was Eicha Tamalchus, the whole Shevet Yehuda was Eicha Tamalchus because they have that Schos of Mesiris Nefesh. So Memela Al Kaponim, the whole Shevet of Yehuda has a Schos because of what Nachshon ben Aminodov did. Certainly Nachshon ben Aminodov himself had that great Schos of Mesiris Nefesh. So Nachshon ben Aminodov, that had his chos of Mesiris Nefesh, when he brought his carbon, he did not have to bring tzofen. He did not need to come out to that chos of the Akedas Yitzchak. He had his own chos of Mesiris Nefesh. And therefore his carbon was exempt from being shechted in tzofen, because he did not need that. Every other carbon, kachim, needs that chos. Except for him, he had his own chos of Mesiris Nefesh. And because of that, his carbon did not have to be shechted b'tzofen. This concludes this shiur.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.